Amen. Thank you, Mr. Levi, for that good song. If you're in Sunday school, that song describes a heart that's not just looking for a quick relief from circumstances, but a heart that really wants to be right with God. All right, children, those of you that would like to go to Children's Church, 4 years old through third grade, you're welcome to go with Mr. Ashton and Mr. Elijah. We ask that the adults kindly remain here, even though it looks very tempting. All right. Let's open our Bibles, please, to John chapter 14. John 14. We're in John chapter 14. And as we continue our study through the book of John, this morning we'll look at verses 25 through 27. Last week we finished at verse 24. So John chapter 14, beginning in verse 25, and let's read our text together, these three verses. Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Let's bow together for prayer. Father, thank you so very much for the good Lord's Day morning that we've enjoyed together already. Thank you for challenging our hearts during the Sunday school hour and through our song service this morning. Thank you for all of our musicians, those that use their talents to glorify you and to minister to our hearts. Lord, as we open your word now, we stop to ask for the help and guidance of the Holy Ghost that we just read about a moment ago and sang about earlier. We ask that the Spirit of God might be our teacher this morning, that he might open our eyes, our ears, our mouths, our hearts to receive your truth and to give forth your truth. Please help us to honor you and to worship you in this part of the service, by showing that we honor you above all and just giving absolute heed to your word. May we be quick to receive your word and quick to obey by the power of your Spirit within us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus was going to, in a matter of days, die on the cross. He would be buried, he would rise again, and then sometime later he was going to return to heaven. Well, that meant that he was going to be leaving the disciples as far as his physical presence was concerned. He knew that they would be needing some comfort in the days which lay ahead. And so Jesus had assured his disciples' troubled hearts by telling them that he would not leave them comfortless. Rather than allowing them to be as orphans deprived of the presence of their Father, when Jesus got back to the Father in heaven, he already had one request in mind that he was going to ask in behalf of his Father's followers. He was going to say, "Father, would you please send them another comforter? Would you send them the Holy Spirit, another comforter, just like Jesus, to comfort the disciples in Jesus' place?" Now, as we think about Jesus' ministry while he was with them, one of the most common and effective ways that Jesus comforted his disciples while he was present with them was in the things that he said. He most often comforted them with words. Maybe there were times when he gave them a pat on the back, a hug, a friendly embrace. I don't know if they shook hands, but anyhow, there may have been times when they comforted him like that, but by and large, Jesus comforted his disciples by the things that he spoke to them. He comforted them by teaching them truth, which helped to dissolve their doubts and help them to see and understand the goodness of God. Those words of teaching brought comfort to them. He gave them words of comfort like this: "Fear not. It is I. Be not afraid. Peace. Be still." Jesus comforted his disciples with words, and though Jesus was fully God, he as a man was indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and he was enabled to speak those words of instruction, those words of comfort, by the ministry of the Holy Ghost as the man Christ Jesus. Okay, Isaiah 11:1 said, "There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord." So that's a prophecy of the Messiah. He was going to come, the Spirit of the Lord was going to rest upon him and would give him an amazing ability to speak words of wisdom and knowledge in the things of the Lord. Isaiah 61 and verse 1, which Jesus quotes in Luke 4:18 as the fulfillment of it, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." So Jesus comforted his disciples with words of teaching, words of comfort. He did that by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And now we learn in this text that it was this same Holy Spirit that was upon Jesus that the Father was going to send as another comforter to indwell the disciples, Jesus' followers, and to comfort them in Jesus' place. And as the comforter was just like Jesus, the way he comforted the disciples would be very reflective, almost identical to the way Jesus comforted his disciples, which was the things that he spoke to them. And so the comforter's ministry of comfort in Jesus' absence specifically focuses on the things that he speaks to us. So this morning for our message, we're going to explore this topic, this thought together, the speaking of the Spirit. The speaking of the Spirit. And we're going to see in our text how the Holy Ghost speaks to us as Jesus' followers to comfort us in his place. And we're going to see again that the Holy Spirit speaks to comfort us in the very same way that Jesus spoke to comfort those first apostles and disciples when Jesus was present with them. So let's note this morning, briefly, three areas or three ways by which the Holy Spirit speaks to comfort us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, first of all, there's words of instruction. Secondly, words of recollection. And thirdly, words of consolation. So the speaking of the Spirit. First of all, there's this thought, words of instruction. Verse 25, "These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things." So as Jesus explains in verse 25 and in the first half of verse 26, just as he spoke to the disciples while he was present with them, so the Holy Ghost, whom the Father was going to send in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake, would also speak to the disciples. And the first kind of words that the Spirit would speak to the disciples would be words of instruction. That is, he would speak to teach Jesus' followers all the things that they needed to know in following Jesus and doing his will. Now, there's much to be learned here this morning about the Holy Spirit's words of instruction. First of all, with all the noise in this world regarding the education of children, we need to recognize here that God has the utmost care for the educating of his children. Jesus did not leave his disciples in ignorance. He says, "I'm going to send the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, and the first thing he's going to do, he's going to teach you. Because I'm concerned that my children know the truth. I don't want them to be ignorant. I'm concerned about the educating of my children and of my followers." And so for this reason, he gives to every one of his born-again children of God, those who are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, this permanent and personal tutor to teach us spiritual truth. And the good news is that the tuition for our tutelage was fully paid in Jesus' name.
1 John chapter 2, verse 27 says, "But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him." So the Holy Spirit's going to come and comfort you. He's going to come alongside you in my place. And the first thing he's going to do for you is just as I've done being present with you. He's going to teach you all things. He's going to give you words of instruction. Now we must understand that the instruction of the Holy Ghost is a practical education. The Holy Spirit does not merely give us facts to fill our heads or even to fill our hearts, but he gives us wisdom to mature us and to make us more like God's Son, Jesus Christ. He teaches us, he educates us in Christ's likeness that we might grow up and mature to become like Jesus Christ. That's the goal of his education, to make us like Jesus. Also, as the Holy Ghost, he ever teaches us to be holy as he is holy. That is to live set apart from sin unto God, to abide in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, to live consistent with all of Scripture, not merely our pet texts, and to be truthful as those who are filled or controlled by the Spirit of truth. And furthermore, the Holy Ghost also speaks to instruct us in the specific paths and steps of God's will. When Jesus taught his disciples, he did teach them the Scriptures. He'd open their understanding that they might understand the Scripture. But Jesus also spoke to give them specific direction about where to go and when and how they would find this and that. And the Holy Spirit does the same thing for us. He instructs us and he teaches us in God's will. We see it described in the book of Acts, Acts 11 and verse 12. Peter, when recounting before those in Jerusalem how he had been led of God to go and minister to Gentiles, even against his natural prejudices. But he said this in Acts 11, 12, "And the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting." So there the Holy Spirit taught Peter in which direction he ought to go to make a specific choice in a matter about where he's going to be, even geographically. Acts 13, 2. "As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said," so the Holy Spirit speaks, maybe not verbally, but surely and clearly in our hearts, in the heart of a Spirit-filled child of God, he speaks ever so clearly. "As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them." So he's going to give you words of instruction. It's a very practical instruction. It's intended to make you like Jesus, to teach you to live a holy life, soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, to direct your specific steps each and every day of your life, to direct you in who to speak to. You remember Philip when he's out, you know, he's led from this citywide campaign out into the middle of the desert, and the Holy Spirit said, "Hey, go speak to that man." And he goes and witnesses to the Ethiopian eunuch. Now again, that the Holy Ghost is given to every born-again child of God to teach them all things also implies that a Christian who is ignorant of the Word of God, a Christian who is ignorant of the will of God, evidences that they are not a Spirit-filled child of God. Okay? Those who live in spiritual ignorance are either guilty of grieving or quenching the Holy Ghost, because he was sent to teach us, friends. And if we're not growing and if we're not learning, we're not going to blame the teacher, because he is the perfect teacher. He's the perfect tutor, but the fact is we may, by our personal sins, prove to be incorrigible students. We can grieve and quench the Holy Ghost and therefore live in spiritual ignorance. We can be like, you know, having known the Lord for 20 or 30 years and still be needing milk when it comes to just the basic doctrines of God's Word. We've never matured and grown to get to the place where we understand the deep things of God. Fact is, if we are not learning and growing to become more like Jesus in our thinking, speaking, and living, it's not the fault of our teacher. Paul said, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." He said to the church at Thessalonica, "Despise not prophesyings, quench not the Spirit." God tries to speak to us, to teach us from His Word, and we despise it, we take it lightly, and it's like grieving the teacher. Maybe some of you parents, if you've taught children, maybe in a homeschooling situation or even in a classroom setting, you know, have you ever tried to teach children that did not wish to learn? Well, God loves us. He wants us to learn, but we can grieve the Spirit. He was sent to comfort us. He does it, first of all, by words of instruction. We also need to recognize here that those who have not repented of their sin and received Jesus Christ as their Lord do not have the indwelling Holy Ghost and therefore cannot learn spiritual truth. Now, for Christians, we are at fault because we have the capacity by the indwelling Holy Spirit. We've been born again, we've been regenerated, and we can learn. And when we don't, we're at fault. But a lost person doesn't have the Holy Spirit. He may be ever learning and yet never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You see, the Holy Spirit alone can reveal spiritual truth. And He must regenerate the heart to be able to receive spiritual truth. This is why reading the Bible, hearing it taught and preached, is laborious and tasteless even to so many churchgoers. Because we have many who have prayed a prayer, been baptized, joined a church, but they've never been born again. They don't have the indwelling teacher, the Holy Spirit, who regenerates them and gives them the capacity to receive and comprehend spiritual truth. This is why Jesus spoke to an elderly spiritual statesman in the nation of Israel, Nicodemus, a master teacher. And Jesus said to him, "Friend, unless you're born again, you can't even see, you cannot perceive and understand the things of the kingdom of God. You've got to be born again." Have you been born again? Do you have the indwelling comforter teacher? Paul said, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth." Comparing spiritual things with spiritual, "but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." Now, God's Spirit is speaking. Jesus said that when the Spirit came into this world, He would convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and coming judgment. The Holy Spirit is speaking. He's continually drawing men unto Christ. He said, "If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me." What's the problem? Well, people don't have the capacity. They don't have that indwelling Spirit to hear that voice that's going out. They don't have the spiritual receptacle by virtue of the fact that they've repented of sins and received the Lord Jesus Christ. So the speaking of the Spirit involves, first of all, words of instruction. He's going to comfort you by teaching you. And that teaching is going to help dissolve those doubts, give you confidence and assurance that you might know the things that God has freely given to you. Secondly, there's words of recollection, or we could say words of remembrance. "These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." Along with speaking words of instruction to teach Jesus' followers all things needful in doing His will, the Holy Ghost speaks words of recollection to help us remember the things which we have heard. Now, this had a very specific application to these apostles, because many of them would be used of God by the Holy Spirit to pen words of Scripture. And as we open our Bible, as we open our Bibles, and particularly our New Testament Scriptures, We can give thanks right there for the ministry of the Holy Spirit who taught those first disciples, but also caused them to remember precisely what Jesus had said and then to record it perfectly without error for our benefit and tutelage. We're thankful that the Holy Spirit was sent to speak, to bring words back to their remembrance. And man, did they ever need that? I mean, Jesus could say something to them while he was with them and the Holy Spirit wasn't indwelling them. He could say something and like 5 minutes later, they ask him the question that he just answered. They're so quick to forget. They say, yeah, I'm there too. Yeah. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:23, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. The Spirit taught Paul and then helped him to recall Jesus' teaching so that we in turn might remember Jesus' death. 1 Corinthians 11:23. That's just one illustration, one example. Peter said, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That was true of the writers of the Old Testament. It's true of the writers of the New Testament. You read later in Peter's epistles, and he refers to Paul's writings, for example, as with the other scriptures, others of the same kind. So Peter acknowledged that Paul wrote scripture, and he did it by the Holy Ghost, who caused them to remember those words precisely and to write them down. Say, preacher, that's great. We have confidence in our Bible. Without error, no errors whatsoever. We're not looking for the Bible. We're not still searching for it some other place. We just have it right here. And every word is right. We're not trying to correct it. But there is a further practical application of this truth for us as Jesus followers today. Okay, we're not writing new scripture. And if anyone says, you know, I have another testament, okay, they're preaching another gospel of a different kind. Okay, so scripture was finished with the book of Revelation. And the Holy Spirit's not causing us to write scripture or to remember things so that we can write out scripture. However, a very practical application of this truth, the Spirit speaking words of recollection or remembrance for us as believers today, is that the Holy Ghost brings to our mind Scripture when we need to recall it for our personal benefit, to encourage other Christians, or to be a witness unto Christ. The Holy Spirit's memory never fails. And if we are Scripture-filled and Spirit-filled, we'll ever keep God's Word in our thoughts, and we'll be ready to give an answer to those who ask us about the faith. Many Christians can give testimony to the Spirit's recalling specific scriptures when a word of comfort was needed, when a word of wisdom or a witness was needed. You ever been there? Maybe you didn't even have your New Testament with you, your pocket New Testament, you're witnessing, and all of a sudden a scripture verse comes to mind that is exactly what is needed for that situation. That wasn't you. That's the Holy Ghost, friend. That's the Holy Spirit who speaks words of recollection and remembrance. He brings those things out when we need to remember them, when we need to be able to offer a word of encouragement to a fellow believer or, again, to witness to some lost person. The Holy Spirit was sent to come alongside us, to comfort us, to help us, to remember what we've heard and read in Scripture. Mark 13 and verse 11, again, Jesus said to his disciples, looking to those last days, which many, they would not be here at that time, though some of them would already experience such like things. But in Mark 13, 11, he said, but when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. Stephen is a good example of this. Jesus had told his disciples, as Luke records it, I will give you a mouth and wisdom that your enemies will not be able to gainsay nor resist. Don't premeditate, you know, don't carry notes with you like, okay, if I get called to give an account and confession for Christ before I'm martyred,
don't have to rehearse it because the Holy Spirit's going to give you the words. In Acts 6, beginning in verse 10 and following, Stephen does exactly that. So the Holy Spirit brings things to our remembrance. Again, we need to understand here, though, that in order for the Holy Spirit to bring Scripture truth to our remembrance, we must first put it in our hearts and minds by hearing it, reading it, studying, and memorizing it. The Spirit brings to our remembrance what the Son and the Scriptures have already said to us and what we've already received. You can't remember something that you never were told, that you never received, that you never received for yourself. And in the same way, following this same thought, as has already been asserted in that first point, if the Holy Spirit is grieved or quenched in our lives, we may live with spiritual amnesia. You say, well, I just can never remember what to say when I'm witnessing. Is the Spirit of God grieved or quenched in your life? I mean, do you really believe that the Holy Spirit lives within you, that He wants to control and teach you the Word of God, that He wants to bring Scripture to remembrance to help you be a witness unto Christ? If you believe that, then there's a problem when we don't recall, we don't remember Scripture. The psalmist said, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." We hide it in our heart, put it in there like tools in a toolbox, and right at each moment when we need it, the Holy Spirit hands us a tool and says, "Here, use this. Here, this is what you need for this job. This is, yeah, right here and here." And we will have all things needful to do the will of God. Finally, Spirit speaks words of consolation, or we could say simply words of peace. Verse 27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Taken in their immediate context, Jesus' words in verse 27 do not only apply to their overall truth that He would leave His followers as part of His parting will, peace, when He returned to the Father, but it specifically infers that it would be by the Holy Spirit that Jesus' followers would have this peace. Just as Jesus spoke to the disciples when He was present with them to give them peace on stormy seas and in troubling situations, so the Holy Ghost consoles Jesus' followers in His place. Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and He gives us peace in the midst of life's storms. And Jesus gives us peace by the Comforter's teaching us and reminding us of spiritual truth. And as we are filled with the Scriptures and filled with the Spirit, we can have peace even in the midst of life's storms. We sang the word this morning. On the stormy seas, He speaks peace to me while the billows ever roll. Storm going all around, but the Holy Spirit still speaking words of peace in our hearts. Filled with the Scriptures, filled with the Spirit, you'll have peace. He gives us words of consolation. Psalm 119, 165 says, "Great peace have they which love thy law." It's the Holy Spirit that teaches us the law of God, that causes us to love it, to remember it, and thereby gives us great peace. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Acts 9:31, "Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied." In spite of persecution, in spite of ungodly, wicked leaders, the early church, not in the church, not the wicked leaders in the church, political leaders, the early church had peace. They had rest by the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Now, as Jesus explains in the second part of verse 27, His giving us peace is not as the world gives.
He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace give I unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you." Now, right on the surface, there's this truth that God doesn't give anything like the world gives. His giving is very different. Okay? The world gives things out of mixed motives with strings attached. But God gives to us freely. He gives to us for our best good, and He will not give that which is not good. God is the giver of every good and perfect gift. He said, "If ye being evil know how to give good gifts or good things to those, your children, that ask you, how much more shall your Father give good things to them that ask Him?" James said, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with Him is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." The Holy Spirit Himself is, aside from our salvation, perhaps the greatest gift that God gives to us. Certainly, while we're here in this life and in this period in our relationship with the Lord. So the Lord gives to us. He doesn't give as the world gives, but specifically, Jesus is talking here about peace. The world offers some semblance of peace, but it's a false peace. The world presents itself as offering peace by an escape from reality. It offers peace through alcohol, drugs, entertainment, and pleasure. It's amazing, the false peace that's being offered to people now, even with the incredible expansion of technology, and how people are literally, transferring their focus from like this life that we're living to this, alternative reality, and seeking peace by an escape from their real lives. But the world's peace, its so-called peace, ends with a crushing hangover, a headache, and then a jolt back to reality. It's a false peace. The Lord said, "There is no peace unto the wicked, saith my God." So the world offers a peace, but God doesn't give us that kind of peace. God instead gives us a settled assurance in our hearts that He's in control, that He's working all things together for our good, that in spite of the storms, we can be still. When the Lord gives peace, we'll not be controlled by worry or unholy fear. Jesus' last statement in verse 27 is this: "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Why? "Because I give you peace." Matthew Henry said this: "Silver and gold he had none, but he left them with that which was infinitely better, his peace. I leave you, but I leave my peace with you. I not only give you a title to it, but put you in possession of it." Another preacher said recently the Lord had spoken of wars in the world. Timeline, parallel Gospels, Matthew 24, parallels right up to this same time. So Jesus had recently spoken to the disciples about wars in the world. "But this should not lead to anxiety. Most men desire peace, but nations often engage in war to achieve an advantage. Men say peace and safety, but sudden destruction comes, for there is no peace to the wicked. The world's peace always has war just around the corner. But the Lord's peace is different. It is not how the world gives. It is heavenly and independent of outward circumstances. With this peace, there should be no anxiety about things in the world, since He has overcome." I ask you this morning, do you have peace? Do you have peace in your heart? Isaiah 26:3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Paul said, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." It's by the power of the Holy Ghost that God gives us peace, by believing His word. Again, if we're ignorant of spiritual things, if we have a problem with spiritual amnesia, not able to receive comfort for ourselves, give it to others, witness, or if we lack peace in our hearts, folks, there's a disconnect. We're not hearing the Spirit's voice. We're hearing all the other voices in the world, but not the still small voice of the Holy Ghost, if he's grieved or quenched in our hearts. Paul said, be careful for nothing. By the way, he wrote these words not from a comfortable pew, but from a prison cell. He said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, well, that eliminates about 95% of the news. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. As we pray, think, speak, and do. That is PTSD. As we pray, think, speak, and do the Word of God in the power of the Spirit of God, we can have abiding peace. Finally, we need to understand that having peace in our hearts begins by making peace with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. We're born as natural enemies to God. We're born as sinners. But God took all the enmity of our sin, He placed it on Jesus Christ, and by faith we can have all of His righteousness placed to our account. We can be brought back into a peaceful relationship with God. And as we have peace with God, then the door is open for us to live with the peace of God. Though we live in a spiritually dark and troubled world, we can have spiritual light. We can have spiritual peace and comfort in our hearts as we live filled with the Spirit and filled with the Scriptures. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for sending us the Comforter. And may we never neglect His presence in our lives. May we be mindful of your Spirit as He seeks to speak to us, to teach us your word. May we be good students as He brings to remembrance the things that we've heard and been taught. May we be good listeners, ready to then speak those things to others, to be your mouthpieces. And Lord, I pray that you would, again, help us not to let our hearts be overcharged with all the cares and concerns and anxieties and fears and uncertainties in this world, but that we would keep our minds stayed on you, that we would listen to the still small voice of the Spirit of God giving us peace in the midst of life's storms. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, may I ask you this question first of all. Have you made peace with God by confessing your sin, confessing Jesus Christ as Lord? Has the Holy Spirit come to live within you, giving you a real hunger for the things of God, giving you an understanding of God's Word, the Bible? Do you really have an appetite for spiritual things? Have you been born again? How many today would say, preacher, I know that I may not be all that I should desire to be as a Christian, but I do have this assurance, first of all. I know that I've been born again. I know that the Holy Spirit lives within me. There was a time, a specific time and place where I repented of my sin and I received the Lord Jesus Christ. I have that assurance today. If that's your testimony, would you quietly raise your hand? You'd say, yes, that's my testimony. I know the Lord. All right, thank you. If you were not able to raise your hand, would you be willing today to admit to God that you're a sinner and receive the Lord Jesus Christ? Is there anyone that would say, yes, that's the decision I need to make, and I believe that God's Spirit has been speaking to me, and today I want to open my heart and receive Jesus? Is there anyone that would raise your hand? You'd say, yes, right here, right now, as best as I know how, I'm saying yes to Jesus Christ. If that's you, would you quietly raise your hand? All right, Christian, is the Holy Spirit filling your heart? Is He teaching you spiritual truth? When you open your Bible to read it, is the Spirit of God teaching you? Are you able to receive the truth of the Word of God and grow? Is He bringing Scripture to mind? Is that a regular thing for you, to be being reminded of Scripture, able to offer words to others from the Word of God?
Do you have an abiding peace? Listen, peace and anxiety or worry cannot coexist. Do you have peace this morning? Are you living in such a way as to hear the Spirit's speaking clearly to you? Maybe God's Spirit has spoken to you this morning and placed His finger on some sin in your life, some sin of omission, something you've not been doing that you know God wants you to do, or maybe something that you've been doing that you know God does not want you to do. Is your teacher, is your comforter being grieved? Would you open your heart to receive His correction, to make the changes so that you can receive of His ministry once again? How many today would say, "Preacher, God's spoken to my heart. To be honest, I think the Spirit has been grieved or quenched in my life, but today I just want to make surrender to the Lord. I want to be clean before Him so that I can hear the Spirit's voice clearly." If that's your heart's desire, would you raise your hand? You'd say, "Yes, that's what God's done in my heart." Thank you. Amen. Lord, thank you for speaking to our hearts. Lord, as we heard that offertory this morning, I thought of the words, "Great things He hath taught us, great things He hath done. To God be the glory." I pray, Lord, that you would receive glory by the changes that you make in our lives. I pray for these that have raised their hands, acknowledging your working in their hearts. I thank you for that. I pray that you'd pour out your grace upon them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.